It's amazing how wonderful you can make today or how miserable you can make today, isn't it? So, I don't know about you, but I'm going to enjoy life with my Lord. I'm going to enjoy the Lord. I'm going to enjoy life because I have the choice. I mean, let's say as man and wife, let's say Cheryl comes in something and she says something to me and say, I don't know, any little thing. She might just come in and say something. Honey, would you like a cup of tea? And, you know, I have the choice to say, yes, honey, I'd love one. Or no, can't you do anything so I'd make me a cup of hot tea? Maybe I want something to eat too. Now I can ruin both of our days, can't I?
Last time
she asked you. Yeah. Or I can say, honey, that's wonderful. I'd love to have a cup of hot tea. And I might love to have something to eat too. She said, well, we don't have anything in the house. I said, praise God, I'll take you down to a restaurant. Let's go. Let's go down here and have a sandwich or something, see? Or I could fuss about it, couldn't I? What? You didn't buy no groceries? What's wrong with you, stupid woman? Now see? I mean, do you know men that talk to their wives like that? Sure. I've been around them. But they don't have a good life either, you know it? Yeah. But now see, we as men and women can either bless or curse our own day. God says we have the ability to make the choice. So you can choose to have a blessed day or you can choose to be miserable today. And if you choose to be miserable, guess what's going to happen to you sooner or later? Sickness and disease are going to come to your physical body. You know that? That's why the Lord told us, laughter is like a medicine. It's good. So, then he says, and I know that whatever God does is final. Whatever God does is final. That sounds real serious, doesn't it? Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. Who is in control? God. We need to realize that. You're not in control. I'm not in control. God is in control. God's purpose in this is that people should fear Him. Now, what does He really mean there? What does it mean to fear God? Reverence Him. Honor Him. Stand in awe of this mighty God that we love and that we serve. You know, start praising Him for everything. A while ago when we were singing, I was thinking, wow, God, listen to those voices up there. And look at those words that You've given us to sing about You and how awesome You are. See, now you could be sitting back there and saying, well, I don't like the music. You could be frowning like a mule-eating cactus. Some of you don't know what I mean there. If you never lived out on the farm, you ever seen an old cow or a mule out and it hadn't been blessed with all the water we've had lately, and the ground is like that floor? And there's one thing that'll grow when the ground's like that floor. Cactus. And they are edible if you burn those needles off of them. But some cows get so hungry, they eat them with the needles on them. I have seen livestock, when they'd come in, their mouth would be all swelled up. We'd have to catch them, strap them down, and pull all them big needles out of their mouth where they've been eating that stuff. You know, if you hadn't lived on the farm, you know, you guys and gals, y'all ain't lived. You've missed a lot of wonderful things if you haven't lived and hadn't been out on the farm. In fact, we had a little thing in town the other day. One of the guys that works with my son, he's a great big old bodybuilder, ex-football player and all that kind of stuff. You'd think this big guy wouldn't be afraid of nothing. He opened his pickup door to get in the other day, and a little snake about that long ran into the door hinge on the left side. He jumped back. He said, Tim, I ain't going nowhere in this truck. He said, what do you mean? He said, there's a snake just running that little hole. So Tim gets up there and he starts looking down. And sure enough, there's a little snake all coiled up in that hole. So Tim gets a stick and tries to punch him in. The snake finds a hole and he crawls down in through the car. So now then he said, well, he's gone somewhere. He said, he ain't going nowhere till we find that snake. So 2.5 hours later, They've jacked this carp, done everything. Tim puts a pocket knife on the end of a stick, ties it, sticks up in there. And he said, when I started punching that snake with that pocket knife, that snake started biting at that stick. So, I mean, you know, even a snake retaliates, you know, when he's being stuck with a knife. You know, but it took Tim 2.5 hours to finally get that snake out of that guy's car and kill it. Because that guy, big old football player, he ain't going nowhere till he knows that snake's dead. I mean, it's just a little rat snake. I mean, what's he going to... If he crawls up in your lap, just let him crawl up and roll around. He ain't going to hurt you. Are we something else? Are we something else? I mean, you take these great, big, strong men, you know, that's going to help you do something, and we're out here in the warehouse, and a little bitty mouse about that long runs across the floor, and everybody jumps up in a table or whatever. I think, what a bunch of guys. They'd never been in a barn before at all. When you picked up that last bale of hay, and there was 20 of them running all around your feet, and you're stomping them, and everything, and one of them runs right under your boot, run, and you grab him right there, catch him right there, and then you drop everything, get another, and over here, right here, and you mash them and shake them down, and they fall out on the floor. If you ain't never been there and done that, you ain't lived on a farm. I mean, you know, good grief, if you're afraid of a mouse or a little snake, you know, goodness gracious alive. You got to learn to be a man of faith. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's amazing what happens, isn't it? You know, if there's anything we have to learn to do is learn to be people of faith. I mean, telling you, this is the most important thing that you'll ever learn to do is learn to believe this word and learn who you are in Christ so that it makes no difference what the devil does. I don't care what he does. I don't care if your spouse says something plumb off the wall. Walks in and maybe he's mad as a hornet and everybody's done something wrong. And he walks in, you say, "Hi, honey, how's it going?" He said, "Don't talk to me. You know, I'm ready to kill the next person I talk to." And she just runs over and grabs him around the chest and kisses him and says, "Well, I'm the next person. Here I am." And just loves him. When you get to where you can walk in faith like that, where you're afraid of nothing, nothing. I mean, the day could come, and it may not happen, that the devil appears as a being, a spiritual being that you can see, but he will appear in the forms of a human being that you can see. And he will threaten you. He will intimidate you. But you've got to be solid. How many of you have listened to that CD we had here for a while called Spiritual Warfare about Margie Mayfield and Stephen? How many of you listened to that? Was that a great woman of faith? How would you like to be a woman that has a gun stuck in her back in a parking lot, commands her to get in a car, and says, "Woman, scoot over and put your hands under your thighs, and if you say one word, I'm going to blow your head off." And she gets in, scoots over, and he gets in, and he's the number one rapist and murderer in America. And she reaches over and puts her hand on his shoulder and said, "Mister, you're not in control here. I am in the name of Jesus." Now, you talk about a woman of faith. And before that day was over, that woman led that man to Jesus, got him to turn himself in, and that woman didn't have a single weapon on her of no kind, but she walked in zero fear. Are you in control when you have zero fear? Yes. How many of you women think you could have done that? Don't you hold up your hand, because I don't think as a woman in this room could do that. I really don't. I don't think there's not one of us in here that can do that. But she did it. A little woman did it. She was quite a girl, wasn't she, Shelley? I mean, she knew who she was in Christ, didn't she? She really did. Now see, all of us can do that if we learn who the enemy is and who we are. Faith is the most important thing you can have today. We have this awesome faith that if we believe the New Testament, the things we're reading about here that Solomon wrote, he didn't know what God was going to put in this picture down the road a few thousand years in the future. He had no idea of the God's plan that what God was doing in the future. He could only see what he saw today. And that's where we are. You can only see what you can see today. You don't know what God's going to do 100 years from now. You don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. Now, you can listen to all kinds of prophets tell all kinds of things. But still, only God knows what he's going to do tomorrow. And only God knows what he's going to do 5 years from now. Only God knows what he's going to do 10 years from now or 1,000 years from now. But he knows. But you and I don't. We can hear all kinds of things, but take very lightly prophecies of the future if they're not written in the Word of God, because we don't know what he's doing. Then it says, whosoever exists today, or whatsoever exists today, and whatever will exist in the future has already... Wait a minute. My page blew over. No, that's it. I'm in the right place. Has already listed in the past. For God calls each event back in its turn. So what does that mean? He is just redoing things for every generation. Nothing new, is there? Nothing. Let's look at this next verse. I also noticed that throughout the world there is evil in the courtroom. Well, now this was in Solomon's day. I'm glad that don't happen today, aren't you? Oh, you mean there's a little evil in the courtroom today too? Oh, my lands. If we ever saw evil in the courtroom, we see it today, don't we? You know, when I was a young man, I used to think that the police never did anything wrong. I thought they were up and up people when I was a young man. I didn't realize how many of them were more evil than those of us that were out there. But it hadn't changed. I also noticed that throughout the world, there is evil in the courtroom. Yep. Yes, even the courts of law are corrupt. Boy, we see that, don't we? Deborah's over there saying, she's just been through some of this stuff. She knows. And when you've been through a little of it, you know, don't you, Deborah? Yep, you absolutely know. I said to myself, in due season, God will judge everyone. Is that a true statement? Yes. I mean, God's going to judge everyone, and both good and bad, for all their deeds. So who's going to get left out of this judgment? Nobody.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.